welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cocoon Podcast. So, as I started recording this, my aircon came on really loud. So I hope you can't hear it. Or if you can, hopefully it's, you know, just maybe a little bit of ambient noise and not too bad. I need to look into filters and things for recording so it can shut out that like extra sound thing, but for right now I'm recording on my phone and I'm using my phone microphone, so I'll have to just be sorry about it for now. But yeah, it's the heat of summer, the middle of summer, in Arkansas, which is in the south of the US, so it's way too hot to not have my aircon on. But anyway, I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you again so much to everyone who has sent me such loving and kind and sweet words about the podcast and just in general. I really, really appreciate it. To be completely honest, I've been having a hard time recently with my mental health. I suffer with depression and anxiety. And yeah, sometimes you just have a bad brain time, you know. So yeah, I always, you know, want to be honest about how I'm feeling and things, and to be honest too, it's quite hard for me in a way. I tend to be, with some things, find it quite easy to be open and share about it and talk about certain things online and all of that. But then there's certain things that I find difficult. And honestly, I think it's just because of, you know, social stigma and conditioning just in society at large. It's not really just a personal thing, but, you know, that thing of we don't talk about mental health very much, and if we do, there's still this real tendency to like want to gloss over it and be like, oh yeah, you know, I felt really bad yesterday but now I feel great. And sometimes that just doesn't happen. Sometimes that's not how it goes. Last week for me was like the worst. I felt the worst that I had in a long time. And it was coinciding with that Lionsgate portal, which was, yeah, just every year too. It gets me every year. I always feel real funky around the Lionsgate. And I never remember it. So I'm always like, why do I feel so weird right now? And then, you know, someone will mention it. Like, this year it was the lovely Leo Sacred Journey, who I feel very blessed to know in real life. And she kind of popped in to see me and was like, hey, this thing's going on. I was like, oh, there you go. Like, that's what it is, right? and yeah, but it's just, oh man, it messed me up. It really messed me up last week. And I'm still dealing with it. Right now I'm actually looking at going back to counseling. I've had counseling over the years, on and off for different things, and I've always found it really helpful and really useful. I tend to be one of those people that if I can just externalize what's going on in my brain, I feel so much better. Like, if I can just talk about it and get it out of my head, so it's not just sort of rattling around in my brain and it's out there and I can discuss it, I tend to do well with that. I'm also someone that does pretty well. I can usually kind of think through my own issues, but I have to be able to talk about it. Like, I don't know how many times I've felt kind of like meh and then sat down and actually talked about how I felt and then just suddenly felt so much better just because I was able to work through it. So I'm actually looking at going back to counselling and back to therapy at the moment, just to help with the brain. I think, you know, as someone who does suffer from those chronic issues of depression and anxiety, it's like, for me, I know I do better when I have a consistent thing of being able to process those things and having someone just help me figure out, like, hey, this is not just you feeling weird or whatever, this is something, you know? Does that make sense? But I wanted to be completely honest about that because, yeah, that's what I'm going through right now. And the truth is that I quite often don't feel completely better. Like, and I tend to hide that. I'm pretty good at hiding how I actually feel, which is not a great thing, but there you go. And kind of, you know, glossing over it and being like, yeah, I feel so much better. Like, and I do feel better than I did. But if you're feeling at like a 1 on the 1 to 10 scale, then feeling like, you know, a 6 or 7, it's better, but it's not great. And so I want to be honest about that. But all that to say that I really, really appreciate the loving and kind words that you guys have been sending me. I really do appreciate it. And I'm trying to sort of pin my self-worth and things less on external validation, I guess, because, you know, I know that a friend told me this past week, I think, you know, you can't pin your worth on what you do for other people. So for me, it's very true, and they completely called me on this, but they were like, you tend to think of your worth being very much tied to what you can do for other people. So like, if you can be of good service to someone else, if you can do something and it helps someone else and you get that good feedback, you feel like you did something worthy. The problem with that is, if you don't have that feedback, if you don't have that thing coming back to you of someone saying, yes, this helped me, yes, this was a good service to me, or you don't have people to like basically essentially give that praise, you start feeling worthless because you put your worth too much on what other people think. You have to learn how to see your worth as being intrinsic to you, that you are intrinsically worthy, not worthy because you did something for someone else or you acted in a certain way or someone liked you or whatever. Because the minute you do that, you start really relying, for one, you're relying on other people to give you something, to give you that sense of worth, and essentially that's not it. Other people can't give you that, you know. The other thing is, you really then are dependent on people liking you, so you'll do more things like people pleasing tendencies, or you'll hide certain parts of yourself because you think that people aren't gonna like it, and it gets into a spiral. So thank you, my dear friend, for telling me that, because, yeah, I think I really did, I did need to hear it. Did it hurt? Yeah, but you know what, that's okay, because it's a loving thing, it came from a loving place, and that was something that I needed to hear that. And I got completely off on a tangent, but I wanted to fill you guys in on what's been going on in Lottie land, what's been going on in Lottie's brain recently, because I also have other things going on that are really fun. I'm planning a tarot class, which will be held at the Four of Wands, and I'm working on a project that I'm keeping strum at the moment, because I have this thing where if I talk about or share too much of something I'm working on when it's in the early stages, I'll stop doing it. So I've learned that I need to give myself that initial period where I'm not opening it up, and I'm kind of keeping it for myself, and then once I get going on it, then I can start sharing it. But I'm working on, yep, something special that I really like. And yeah, there's good things going on. There's good things going on in Lottie land. It's not all feeling, you know, the whirring in the brain, but that is a little bit of what's going on. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about today is not anything to do with any of that, actually. And, you know, just thinking about it as I was talking, I was like, should I just not talk about this today? But whatever, no, this is what I want to talk about today, so I'm going to talk about it. But the thing I'm talking about today, or want to talk to you guys about today, blah, 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 is fortune telling with tarot. So I've been doing some research and looking at like what are the most commonly things searched about it for different things that I'm interested in. So I actually used Ask the Public, which if you're a business, I highly recommend it because you can type in like a subject and it'll bring up all the different things that people search for that, like the most common ones, and then you can kind of like use it to know what people want to know about. Because I know sometimes I'll ask like, oh, do you have any questions? And I don't know if you're like me, but if you're like me, then being put on the spot in a kind of way of be like, oh, what do you want to know? I'm like, instantly, I have no idea. I don't know what I want to know. Things about stuff, you know? So I've been using that to do more research on what people want to know about. And one of the most common things that people search for with tarot, and also for psychics and stuff like that, is fortune telling. Specifically, can you tell the future with tarot? How accurate is it? How do you do it? Should you do it, I think, is something that people are interested in too. So I want to talk about that today. And this is one of those subjects too that I feel like a lot of people probably don't want to talk about, because it's something that I think is very tied to like the old idea of what a tarot reader does, and you know, there's that like cliche, and a lot of the cliches around this kind of thing are really harmful and can be really insensitive to just lots of different types of people, and it can be harmful. And so I think people want to distance themselves from that. So you'll get a lot of tarot readers now, or a lot of psychics, whatever, that are kind of really, for one, they don't want to do any kind of sort of fortune telling of like, this is what's going to happen. For two, they won't even talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. And that's completely fine. I'm not saying anything negative about that, because I understand it. A lot of the times in the past, I probably wouldn't want to address things like this either, but I feel more comfortable with it now. I feel like I want to address it, because people want to know. People are searching for it. They're curious about it. So yeah, can you tell the future with tarot? Can you do fortune telling with tarot? I believe that you can, which is also something a lot of people won't say. I find nowadays that a lot of people really go more towards this is not fortune telling, things are not set in stone, like I'm not telling you what's coming up, I'm not telling you what's going to happen. And I'm the same way, in that I cannot 100% tell you what is going to happen, because I don't believe that things are set in stone. Things can change. Things can come up in a reading and you see it and go, whoa, I really don't like where that's going, I want to change that. Great, go ahead and do it. You can change it. Free will allows us to change, and we do have free will. We have choices, and we always make choices. No matter what we do, we're making a choice. Now, even if like I see something and I don't want to do anything about it, so I don't, that's still a choice. I chose not to do anything about it. And I think that rattles people sometimes, because they want to say, no, that, I didn't have a choice, I didn't do anything, you know, that. But it's like, well, that's, we can't get away from choices. We can't escape making choices. Choices, honestly, are a huge part of, I think, why we're here. We have to learn to make choices, and that we always have to make choices in everything. But that's getting a little bit off off to the side. But yeah, I do believe that we can do fortune telling in a sense of what's probability, what's likely. So with tarot, when you think about it, when you do a spread, it's especially if you do say like a Celtic cross or something where you're looking at like a path from here to what, you know, here to an outcome, here to the future, whatever, there's probability there. And we might not want to put it in terms of I'm fortune telling, because I think that tends to take away that element of choice, or people think that it takes away choice, and they'll just sort of hand over that responsibility and be like, you told me this, therefore I don't have to do anything anymore because you told me this is going to happen. And it doesn't work like that. We are in control of the ship. But you know, if we're looking at, say, past, present, future, or we're looking at outcome, then we are to some degree looking at fortune telling or looking at the future. You know, it's, that's the position, that's what we're looking at. So logically we are to some degree looking at fortune telling, but I think that it freaks people out, so they don't like to think about it in that way. I think the really important thing is the probability. Can I tell you, you know, looking at cards, okay, how likely is this business to succeed? Yes, I think that I can. Based on whatever cards I get, I think that can tell us a lot about how likely is this to work? How likely is this idea to work? Do I need to put more work into this idea to get it going? Or is it doing good, you know? That I would call fortune telling to a degree, but I think that's, like I said, it's probability. It's not absolutely yes or absolutely no. And I think a lot of the time people do want that absolutely yes or absolutely no, which I think, at least in my experience, tarot doesn't tend to give us that. It doesn't really go towards that. Because I think if you look at tarot, it's a whole journey. It's a whole... no card really stands alone in my experience. It's all part of a story, so it's all part of a journey. And so, you know, we don't stop at any part in our journey and go, that's it, I'm done. We might complete something and then move on to another step, but our lives are so complicated that there's always lots of different things going on at the same time. And tarot, I think, is really good at representing that, because in a tarot deck, you know, we might be focusing on the wands right now and the journey within the wands, but in that same deck at the same time, you've also got the major arcana journey going on, then you've got the cups, the swords, the pentacles at the same time. So it's all happening at the same time. We're just focusing in on this particular suit right now. We're just looking at what's happening in the wands journey. Where are we in that wands journey in our life? But having said that, I think that yes, you can still sort of look at looking at the future and say, how likely is this to work? So for example, if I pull, let me think of a question first. So if I think of, okay, so for myself, I'm looking at these tarot classes, right? So I want to teach tarot classes. So I could ask the cards, how likely is it for my class to do well? And I might pull the Eight of Wands, in which case that to me would be like, great, yep, everything looks clear, you're going for it, you're putting the passion into it, you've got the drive going, it's a straight shot, everything looks good. Or I might pull the Five of Swords, which would be a way different message. To me, that would be like, there might be competition, you need to look at that competition, you need to look at, you know, like SWOT analysis and look at strengths and weaknesses and things, because there's probably something there going on underneath that could cause it to fail. Like, to me, that Five of Swords, does it feel positive or negative? It feels negative when you first look at it, right? And I'm going to be teaching this too, of how to read tarot quickly like that. Does it feel good or bad? But those are two really different answers to that question, but they can still predict to some degree, like, how does it look like it's going to go? But then we don't tend to take that answer as like the be all and end all. It's like, to me, I wouldn't go, you know, is my class going to do well? Five of Swords. Okay, no, it's not going to do well. Well, sod it then. You know, I'm not going to do it. Because that tarot, that's not utilizing tarot to the best way that you can in anything. You know, then I could build a spread off of that. So it could be like, okay, so what do I not know about? What's my competition? So fives tend to be competition. So in my experience, at least with swords and wands as well. So it's like, where's my competition? What do I not know about? What might someone have over me, or strengths that they could use, which would, you know, draw clients from me to them, and then pull cards on that. What can I do to, you know, enhance my strengths and minimize weaknesses, get rid of weaknesses, address all of that, etc., etc. So then you start building like a dynamic reading and a dynamic spread around that answer. But like I said, it's still an answer. It still gives us a direction to look in. I think fortune telling with tarot can get really sticky when we start looking at things that do tend to go more towards that be-all and end-all kind of answer. So, for example, am I going to get married? When am I going to get married? When am I going to meet the person of my dreams? You know, when am I going to have a baby? Do I think you can answer that with tarot? Do I think you can get insight into that? Yes. I do think you can. Should you? I wouldn't. And the reason for that is because, to me, for one, those things tend to be like the top layer of things, and it's usually we get those questions, in my experience, when someone doesn't want to look at something underneath. So, you know, for example, am I going to get married? If you're looking at just that question, it's sort of like you don't want to work on what's underneath that might be preventing you from getting married, or might be preventing you from having a happy marriage. I mean, that's the thing too. It's like, you could get married, doesn't mean that you're going to have a happy marriage, not necessarily, or that you're going to stay married, not necessarily. So looking at, you know, just that one question, it sort of like pulls it away from the dynamic aspect of our lives, and I think it just focuses too much on that one thing. The other thing is, if you get a card that says no to that, am I ever going to get married? And you get a card that says no, like, if, for example, am I going to get married? And you pull the Three of Swords. What the heck are you going to say to that person? Because you have a lot of power in your hands right there, and you could really, really do some damage if you don't know how to sort of explain that in a way that isn't going to make them feel hopeless. You don't know how that person's feeling or what they're going to do with that information. So that's where I would really steer people away from looking at tarot in that way. So, like I said, can you do it? I mean, I think you probably could still do it. It's still a question of, you know, is this going to happen? Well, here's the probability. But I don't think it's a particularly healthy question to address in that same way. Does that make sense? Like, can you do it? Yes. Ethically, should you? I don't think that you should, or at least I wouldn't. You know, other people, it's whatever. I'm not every reader, and not every reader is like me. So, you know, you get things from different readers, and that's fine. But I wouldn't do it. I would just look at that question more of like, am I going to get married? When will I get married? And say, okay, we can draw some cards on this, see what happens. But why don't we get deeper into it too? Why don't we look at, why are you asking this? You know, what do you actually want from it? Do you know what you want from a marriage? Do you know what you want from a partner? Let's start there. Let's like manifest this stuff. Let's get the magician up in here. You know, like, rather than look at it as, this is my one focus, and if I do it, then I succeeded, or if I don't, then I failed. Let's look at what's underneath that question, and then formulate something that will actually make you feel happy. Like, you don't just want to marry the next person that comes up to you and says, will you marry me? You have no idea what that person's going to be like. Instead, let's think about, what do you actually want? Who's the perfect partner for you? Maybe why do you feel like you need this? You know, are you lonely? Do you feel like you don't have someone to share things with? Is it social pressure? Your parents are saying, why aren't you married yet? Why don't you have kids yet? You know, it's like, those are all very different reasons to want to get married. And they colour things in different ways, and then we can look at things in different ways and delve into it more. So I feel like you can do a lot more service to people if you say, yeah, we can look at this, but let's not pin everything on that, you know? Yeah. So, I've already spoken for 25 minutes nearly. So we're going to go to an ad break now, and then after we come back, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how we can use tarot for fortune telling. So if you've, you know, decided that we've got a good question, we know what we're going to look at, how do we do it? How do we do timing in tarot? And I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I do it. All right. We've talked about whether or not we can do fortune telling, tell the future, etc. with tarot. And to recap, in my belief, we can. I talked a little bit about why we might or might not, and how we can develop questions that look at timing into something a little bit deeper. But now, how do we do it? So, here's the system that I use, here's how I do it. It can vary, I find, between people. Some people think of it a little bit differently, but this is the way that I do it. And then after we talk about this, I'm going to talk a little bit about things like accuracy, so how accurate is it, etc. So, first things first, how do we do it? For timing questions, I generally only use the Minor Arcana. And that is because you can break the minors down into four very distinct different types of energy. And so that can give a clearer sense of timing and how long we're looking at. I find if I use the majors, they don't often have a very clear kind of delineation of timing. I think some people, you know, probably do use majors, but I don't for this purpose, for telling timing. Sorry if you can hear my cat in the background, he's complaining loudly about the fact that he can see the bottom of his dish. But anyway, so yeah, I don't use majors for this, I just use minors. And I don't separate out the majors and minors if I'm doing a reading that is, you know, partly looking at timing or something. I just go ahead and pull the cards. And if I get a major, I just pull a second one to help with that. Because I find, in my experience, I can definitely read the major in conjunction with the minor, looking at timing. And I'll explain that in a second. But the majors can be used, I just don't use them solely as a timing kind of estimation. So, how do I do it? I break the seats down into timing. So for me, I think of the elements, what moves fastest, what moves slowest, and look at it like that. So for me, I use wands to mean basically imminent. It's happening right now. You're probably already doing it, you know? Wands is fire. So in the traditional Rider-Waite Smith system anyway, wands is fire. So, and that can be rods as well. So if you get fire moves quickly, so that's the fastest. That to me is like right now or the next few days, this week, you know, something like that. It's happening soon, it's happening like right now, it's going on. The next one that I use is swords. So swords to me tends to be weeks to months in a shorter time frame, so weeks to, you know, 1 or 2 months maybe, and that is because to me swords still go pretty quickly, they cut through things. I would say that if you're getting swords for timing, in my way I look at it, I would say there's other things that probably need to be dealt with first. So you can still get that with wands, but wands tends to be, in my experience, it's much more like that person that you're reading for is doing something, and that shows, you know, that things are moving quickly. There's less in the way, whereas swords, the way I read them, tend to be clarity, cutting through things. So you might need to cut things loose, you might need to cut some things away, you might need to cut a path first. But, you know, it's happening, it's coming. The next one I use is cups. Cups to me tends to be months. It's usually like 6 to 12 months, maybe. Cups, I find they can be really finicky with timing because they're really nebulous. And because it's water, you know, that goes with emotion and feelings and intuition as well. So sometimes cups can be when the timing feels right, which is not always super useful to that, to the person you're reading for. Sometimes you might get an intuitive hit of timing for that, so pay attention to that. Cups also tends to take into account the emotion of the person and the people around them. So how is the person feeling? That can help or hinder the timing. You know, if they're feeling great about it, yeah, it's coming, it's doing great. If they're feeling kind of bleh about it, like Four of Cups maybe, yeah, it's going to take longer. But that's mostly because they need to look at the sort of emotional components and the cups components of it first before it can move forward. And then the slowest one, in my experience, is Pentacles. So Pentacles is Earth. Earth tends to be generally slow moving, slow changing, slow growing, but it also tends to be the most stable and the most sustained. So, for example, I would say that getting Pentacles in growing a business is a really good thing. Is it going to happen instantly? Maybe not. You know, did you get wands? If not, if you're getting a lot of Pentacles, it might not be coming up right this instant. That to me tends to be months to years. But it means that you're working on the foundation and making sure everything is really solid, so that what you build up on top of that has longevity. It's going to do well, it's going to grow well. Pentacles can also show us, you know, if you get reversed or something like that, could also show us where we need to strengthen things, what we need to go back and look at, what in the structure needs our attention before we can grow this, before we can get going on it. So that's the first thing. You can use the suits to tell you timing. You can use the numbers if you want to for timing. I don't tend to. I tend to use the pictures more. So, for example, to me, the Eight of Wands would be moving faster than the Five of Wands, because the Eight of Wands shows that everything's clear, we're aiming, we're taking aim, we're firing, etc. You know, the Knight of Wands moves quickly. Whereas something more like the Five of Wands, there's competition there, so that might make it move a little bit more slowly. Or the Ten of Wands, you're working on too much, you've got too much going on, so this one thing that you need to focus on can't flourish because you've got nine other things that you're trying to do at the same time. You know, put those things down and then things will move smoother. So with timing, I would say, or at least the way I do it, if I'm looking at timing, and to be honest, I don't very often look at timing with things. Most people that, you know, most of my clients are looking at, they're not really looking at timing, but sometimes I get this with timing. But to me, you're not just reading, oh yeah, Two of Wands, so it's 2 weeks, you know? You're looking at the suit, what's the element, but then also what's the picture telling you about the situation. And then the other thing is that you can, like I said, you can use the majors in the way that I do. You can use the major to inform the minor that you're getting. So, for example, if you get the Emperor and you get the Ten of Pentacles, those are both really earthy things, so that's a real longevity thing. That's like, this might be your life work that you're looking at, you know, because that's, you've got the Emperor, which is that stability. The Emperor to me is not fast. He doesn't rush things, but he does things properly and thoroughly. Then the Ten of Pentacles to me, I look at inheritance. What are we passing on? What are we passing down? So this could be a family business that you're wanting to make for your family, and then, or money that you're making through that goes to your family. You're really looking at longevity and how you can provide with that. The emperor also is a provider, so wanting, specifically the emperor tends to want to provide like structure, stability, rules, like formulas, I think of as being an emperor kind of thing. They're not necessarily touchy-feely, but they're looking out for the good of people and everyone, really. So it could be like the good of everyone in the family. Or another example could be the High Priestess and let's see, I'm trying to think of an example. The High Priestess and the Seven of Cups. Okay, so that's a little bit more of a challenging one. That to me suggests, since we're looking at the Seven of Cups, how quickly is this going to happen? Well, I think you need to focus on which way do you actually want to go. Because the Seven of Cups is, to me, an overwhelming choice card. It's like, I could go this way, but I could go that way. I'm not sure which way to go. I've got too many options. So you probably need to, like, focus down, narrow down. And you can use the High Priestess to do that by listening to intuition. Listening to, like, what's your inner voice telling you? What's your inner wisdom telling you? What do you actually want to do? What feels right to you? Because if you look at the Seven of Cups, right, all the cups have different things in them. Some of them have, like, things that look good. Some of them have things that don't look great. Like, I think one of them has a skull in it, right? So it's like, there's certain options of things that you're looking at that actually you don't really want to do, that they don't really call to you. Even if that was the thing that was going to move forward the fastest, you'd find yourself in an unhappy situation anyway, because you'd be moving forward fastest into something you don't actually want. So you need to look at what you actually want and use that to tailor down, narrow down the things you're looking at doing. When you focus on an idea, come back and then say, okay, what about this idea? Then we can look at that and break it down like that. Another example could be, I'm trying to think of a good question. I'm trying to think of an example for swords here, like what I would use for swords. Okay, so is this, with this relationship, am I going to get married? You get the Ten of Cups, right? Great, yeah, that's my happily ever after card. Or you get the Two of Cups. Those are like love cards, that's doing great. But then, is this relationship going to have longevity? You might get the swords, or like, how long is this? How long until I get married? You get the swords. So let's think the Queen of Swords. So to me, that suggests that first question, if we got that Ten of Cups, that Two of Cups with, am I going to get married? Is this a good relationship? Etc. Yes, it's a good relationship. But if you get the Queen of Swords, that to me suggests you need to be really honest, you need to be very forthright in what you want. You really need to look at, like, what does this provide you, what do you provide for them, especially looking at maybe, you know, the more intellectual qualities of the relationship. Do you share things in common? Can you share things with each other? What are their views on certain things? Are there things that you have strong views about? Do theirs complement yours? They don't have to completely agree with you. But are you on the same page? You know, if you're not, then that could be an issue. That's also looking at, if I said, you know, that's weeks to a couple of months, then yeah, you might be getting married in a couple of months. Then there might be things that need to be sorted out. You need to make sure that everyone's aware of this detail. You need to make sure that, you know, everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing. Get organized, get a plan in place. So that could be a swords kind of response to that. And then say you get that Queen of Swords with the Devil. Okay, so that might be an interesting one too, because the Devil in that situation could look really confusing. Especially if you get, say, am I going to get married? Is it a good relationship? Etc. You get that Ten of Cups, super positive. When am I going to get married? Am I going to get married soon? You get the Devil and the Queen of Swords. What the heck, right? What I would say for that is you need to make sure you're not getting bogged down in extraneous details. Cut out all the excess stuff that is just draining your time and energy. that is pulling your focus to things that you really need to pull your focus back from. Pull your energy back from those outside sources. Don't sort of fritter your energy away. Don't let things distract you and pull you away because, oh, this is more fun, or, oh, I want to go do that. It doesn't matter. Be responsible. Stay on task. Get it done. The other thing is, with that devil showing up with the Queen of Swords, there's stuff you need to address. There's things maybe from the past. There's issues with the relationship maybe. Which is not to say that it can't work, but there's things you need to talk about. Do you two have something that you can't agree on maybe, or something that's happened in the past that has never been addressed? Now's the time to do it, because if you leave it and you don't address it, that could be an issue in the future when it comes back up, because it will. and then you still can't talk about it, but now you're married and etc, etc. So that's something you can do too, for not just looking at timing, but what's the details about the timing. So the final thing that I'm going to talk about for this is accuracy. How accurate is it? And the truth is, people want a reader to be accurate, right? Because if you're not accurate, what people think, what's the point? The thing I have with accuracy is that a lot of the time with readings, the actual importance of the reading doesn't really come from something of whether it's accurate or not, because a lot of the time, or at least in my experience, we're looking more at, say, emotional things or spiritual kind of growth, or how we're growing, how we're doing, and then that doesn't tend to really come down to accuracy anyway when you get down to it. What people usually mean if they say accurate there is you read the cards with very basic information or no information or whatever, and you got it right, like you tapped into what they're going through. That's accuracy. But then if you're actually talking to them about, now what do I do, how do I grow, how do I progress, etc., that sort of like goes past that accuracy. That's not really a thing about accuracy in my experience, because how can you have accuracy about what's the best way to grow? Like, accuracy doesn't really apply to that, I don't feel. Accuracy with timing, this can get complicated because, like I said before, there's always free will, there's always choice, and that can change timing. So, for example, if I see, I get a question that's like, am I going to find a good relationship soon? And I get the Three of Cups. That's a super celebratory card. That to me is like you might meet someone at a celebration, so it could be someone else's wedding, for example, or something. And it's Cups, so that's, in the next 6 months or so. But then that person takes that and doesn't go to any of these places that they might meet new people, or they don't go to these, like, they don't take the cue, basically. They don't take the advice from the tarot. They come back to me a year later and say, hey, I never found that person. That's not really necessarily an accuracy issue, but it's because I can't say concretely, yes, you're definitely going to meet this person. And even if you sit in your house for the next 6 months, they're going to come knock your door down and come into your house and say, hey, I'm in love with you. Like, that's not going to happen. We still got to be realistic. So that's the thing with timing. Is it's, like I said, probability. It's not concrete yes or no in my experience generally. I have heard of people that do yes or no concrete based on generally turning over a card and how do they feel about it. So I turn this over and it's the Three of Cups. Yes, that's a yes because it feels positive, it looks good. I turn this over, it's the Three of Swords. That's an absolute no because it feels bad. I don't do that. I don't like that way of working. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't push my buttons. I don't like it. But some people do read like that. So I'm saying, that's completely up to you if you want to do that. But to me, that introduces even more of a potential for the accuracy to be off. But, that's just me. But yeah, like I said, the accuracy then, the way I phrase it is, for example, this looks really good. So this looks like a yes to me, or this looks like a yeah, that's coming soon. if you follow this, or pay attention to this, or here's the guidance to go along with that. Don't just give someone a yeah, that looks good, no, it doesn't look good, and send them on their way, because to me that's not a good reading, and it's also not helpful. It's also not going to be very accurate. I feel like you need to give people as much information as you can on not just what's going on, but how do I do it, what's coming up, how do I deal with it. You know, don't just do what's coming, do what's coming, how to deal with it, how to best approach it, how to take the opportunity, what to pay attention to, etc., etc. So in my mind, is it accurate? It can be. And if you do it along with things that they can follow, you give them some homework and they go and do that, yes, that increases the accuracy to me. It makes it more likely to be accurate because they're actively taking part in that pathway, in that potential future, and going that way. Does it have the potential to be inaccurate? Yes, I think everything does. You can't pin everything down and say, yes, this is absolutely going to happen, this is absolutely not going to happen. It could change, and they have the power to change it. You have to bring it back to their power, their ability, what they can do. So to recap the episode, I do believe you can do fortune telling, that you can look at the future, you can tell the future to some degree. I do it with probability, not absolutes, because I don't like absolutes. That to me takes away their power. It's not empowering to the client, and that's my goal. I use ones for right now to next few days, next week-ish, you know, really quick. Swords is next, that's like weeks to a couple of months. Next is cups, that's maybe 6 months, within 6 months to a year. And it's kind of nebulous. I don't like cups and timing, they annoy me. And then pentacles is the long haul, that's like a year, maybe even a couple years, but it's got longevity. So I hope that you find that helpful and useful. I'd love to hear how you find it, what you think, if you try it. Do you use timing? Do you not? Do you like timing? Do you not like timing? I would love to hear what you think. And I'm sending you so much love. Just real quick, just to have my little plug real quick. You can find readings or book a reading with me either through Etsy, which is thesacredcocoon.etsy.com. You can find a link to that through my Instagram, also through Facebook, or you can email me. I do private readings, so email me at thesacredcocoon@gmail.com and we can set something up. I do phone readings, I do text readings, I do same day readings, schedule readings, and audio recorded readings for things. You can follow me on Instagram at The Sacred Cocoon. You can follow me on Facebook at The Sacred Cocoon. And I think that's it. If you follow me from the podcast, let me know, because I like to hear it. So yeah, sending you so much love. Bye now.